excited about being here. I'm excited about what God continues to do among us, through us and in us. And when I look out over the audience, I see a bunch of young people. We have several that are not here. And so let me really ask you to especially pray for our young people. This time of year is a big deal for a lot of people. Some are graduating from elementary school out of kindergarten into elementary. Some are graduating from elementary to high school. Some are graduating from high school to wherever. Some are going to college, and some are graduating from college. And so it's the time of year where maybe it's spring and new things are happening. And it's the time of year where I think it's really important that we just pay attention to that. And so let me encourage you to be praying for that. Don't forget, tonight is our meeting with the Clinton group. And I almost said elders, because I'm so encouraged by a lot of the comments that I'm hearing about our study on Wednesday nights as we prepare ourselves to potentially look at selecting elders in this congregation. So let me really encourage you to make an effort and be a part of that. Jeff already mentioned the fact that I'm a little anxious because we need to leave and we have an aircraft to catch, but that's only tomorrow, so we still got the rest of the day. We've got to get to Nashville to leave. But aside from that, I just wanted to share with you how much I appreciate Herman Pope. You know, Herman has been with us for about 4 or 5 years now. And for me, he has been an absolute joy to have. And whenever I leave, I always have confidence that Herman's going to do better than me. He's had a little more experience than I have. But I'm excited that we have men of Herman's caliber. We have several others who stand up and teach and just do an excellent job. So I'm just really encouraged by that. Thank you so much. Last week we looked at the aspect of having purpose in where we go. And I think that's critically important for us as individuals as well as it is for us as a body of people. This morning I'd like to expand on that a little bit as we look at this whole concept of developing spiritual maturity, which I believe is the most critical aspect of what we do as a body of people. Because if we're not spiritually mature, as we see the advancing of darkness in the world around us, we become very, very much aware of the fact that unless our faith, my faith, is intact, and unless I know whom I am believed, and unless I know the power of God that works in me, I will be overcome by the darkness that is engulfing us. So we know that. And one of the things that God gives us to be able to help combat that is what we call church. Or maybe another word for church really is it's just a large family, or it's a team. You know, we're a body of people gathered together. And so from the very earliest of times, God has revealed through His Word, through Scriptures we have it today, that He values people. It's not the resources of this world that we have discovered that He values. It's not the resources of the natural earth that God values, but people. He values us complete with all of our quirks, with all of our flaws and inadequacies and idiosyncrasies and all of that stuff that we all have. He still values us as people. And that is clearly seen through the fact, even as Johnny spoke about it as we surrounded the table this morning, it is clearly seen in the fact that He sent us Jesus Christ so that through Him we can be empowered to become more and more and more like God. Jesus Christ, the Scriptures tell us, is our example for that. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 23 in particular, He says that He left for us an example so that we can follow in His steps. And so as we follow Christ, we have greater opportunity to become more and more like God. Understand, beloved, that people are the pride and joy of God. That people are the reason why God smiles every day. And when we as people assemble together as a team or as a family of people and we function together, we understand that we have far greater opportunity to excel as a part of a body or as a part of a team than we do as an individual. Now, you all know that I'm an avid sportsman and I love sport. And it's interesting that sport takes such a dominant role in our society, and I wonder who really is the God of our country. But I did some research, and you know what Google's like. Google helps you to find a lot of stuff. And so I Googled and I looked at NFL as a particular single sport, and I found that on any given Sunday, there are over or almost 2.3 million people in attendance of a NFL football game. That's just in attendance. And then I thought, well, what about the TV viewership? And so I Googled that as well, and lo and behold, it came up with some statistics as well. And the TV viewership of a football game over a weekend is in excess of 85 million. And so you put that together, and there's probably about 90 million people on any given Sunday looking at sport. And so I think I'm pretty safe in saying that if we look at sport and we use sport as an analogy to talk about who we are, all of us can understand that. And we understand that sport, for the most part, with the exception of maybe golf, and that's a team sport sometimes, and maybe tennis, and there's one or two others, but most of the popular games that are played in this country are all team sports. And so we understand the value of team. And scripture records for us that to make up a team, it's made up of people. And way back in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells us that the Lord's portion is His people. And what that's really saying to us is God values people. He values you and me. He values all kinds of people. Not just the sheep and the goats, not just the camels or the golden temple ornaments or even the temple itself, but He values people. And since Bible times, people have gotten the most done when they have functioned together collectively as a team or as a body of people. Back in the Old Testament times, in the biblical times, they may not have used the term we call team, or even the term that is developed out of the Greek word that is used in the New Testament, that is the word synergy, but we understand as we look back in scriptures that people understood the value of teamwork. They understood the value of synergy. They understood that the sum total of what we can do as a body of people is greater than the individual efforts collected together. In the book of Ecclesiastes, in chapter 4, you know, the wisdom of Solomon, he wrote these things, and he said, two are better than one because there is a better return for their work. Interesting. That's way back in the Old Testament times. He says, if one falls down, his friend can pick him up. Though one can be overpowered, he recognizes that two can defend themselves. And then he states that word, that those words that we often quote, and we speak about a cord of three strands is not easily broken. It wasn't just Solomon that understood this. We go back into the Old Testament and we see in the book of Nehemiah, and in particular in chapter 4 in the book of Nehemiah, we read how that he understood the value of teamwork, of getting people together as a significant body so that he could reconstruct the walls of Jerusalem. And what he did as we read through that fourth chapter of Nehemiah, we understand that he used complementary strengths. So while some were building, some were armed and ready to protect the people who were building. And so he understood that the value of the two working together, of the teams working together, was that they could accomplish the greater purpose. And the greater purpose was rebuilding the city for the nation and security for the families that lived within the city. When Moses led the people through the wilderness, we understand that there were a lot of individual sacrifices made for them to complete that 40-year trek in there. But they also understood that they sacrificed themselves as individuals for the greater good of the entire nation. And so we recognize that through the Old Testament, as well as through the New Testament that we're going to look at, and through the world that we live in today. That people working together as a team have greater value than the sum total of one person and one person working on the same project. Consider Jesus. When he picked his apostles, did he look at their resume and select all the same people who had the same skills, coming out of the same background with the same prestigious positions in society? I think we understand very clearly that when he looked at that and he selected his people, they came from differing backgrounds and all sorts of different abilities. Paul recognized that as he spoke in the book of Romans. In Romans chapter 12, he speaks of how that people have different gifts. Some of prophesying, some of serving, some of teaching, some of encouraging, some of leadership. And when he speaks to the Ephesian church in the passage of scripture that Ethan read for us as our text this morning, in chapter 4 and verses 11, really on down through verse 16, he says that it was Christ who gave us some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors, and some as teachers. But everyone on the team had different abilities, but the same spirit and purpose. And I think that's the most critical thing for us to understand as we look at people who God values. Beloved, the overriding message of everything that I've spoken about up until now is simply this. No matter how seemingly humble or insignificant to us our role may be, no part of any team of people is any less valuable than any other. And nowhere is that more critical than within the family of God. The people of Israel, over and over in history, they experienced depression and purposelessness and selfishness. And we read that as we read through the Old Testament. And to me it's interesting that it was at these times that they degenerated from being a team to a chaotic, purposeless group of people bumbling around without any direction. Without purpose, without direction, they became idol worshippers. And they ceased to treat one another honorably, with love and decency. Ethically, their life was catastrophic, and it seemed like everything was falling apart. And they were like sheep. And I believe it was one of our younger members who revealed for us this astounding truth that sheep are dumb animals, and we are represented by sheep. Especially when we no longer look to Christ for direction. And so everyone, when we bumble around like sheep, we're lost because we have no direction. Isaiah recognized that back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah chapter 56 and verse 3, he said, "Everyone has his own way when we lose sight of who God is." and we do our own things. Most everyone, I think, understands basketball. You know, I selected the Chicago Bulls not because I'm a fan of theirs, but because I recognize there is an incredible illustration here. Chicago Bulls became probably one of the most profound professional teams that we have known. They went on to win 6 NBA titles. And everybody looks at that and they think, well, you know, the Chicago Bulls is all about Michael Jordan. And if you listen to the Nike adverts, you know, it's all about be like Mike. You know, and so we're familiar with that. But how many people realize that Michael Jordan wore the Chicago Bulls jersey for several years before they even became contenders? And it was only when Phil Jackson, the coach, was able to mold them together and to get this incredible talent all working together that they were able to experience and accomplish just incredible things. And I look at that and I think to myself, oh, that we as a body of people called Christians would learn that lesson. Because this is a biblical lesson. In the best teams, positions are subordinate to purpose. In the best teams, it really doesn't matter what we do as long as we are able to accomplish the purpose of the whole. And how true is that for the body of Christ? Who cares what your prestigious title is in the church? Who cares how much money you earn? Who cares whether you wear name brand clothes or not? Or what type of vehicle you drive? Who cares how much power you've got or influence you've got in the church? If it is not tied in to the central purpose of what we're doing. And so when we look at teamwork, when we look at working together, it has to be synchronized with purpose. If we have no purpose, then we have nothing that we can pull together to accomplish. Paul reminds the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 5. He said, not that we are adequate in and of ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but he says, our adequacy is from God. Oh, beloved, please, listen to this. Once Moses had learned to delegate and to trust those to whom he had delegated something to do what they said they would do, the nation was able to move forward. You hear that? Sometimes our biggest issues and our biggest problems is people say, yeah, I'll do that, I'll do this, I'll do the next thing, and they just don't do it. And so, as we enter into a time when we're going to be praying and considering the possibility of having elders, of having some spiritual leadership in our congregation, this whole point is critical for us to understand. Because if we're going to ask people to help guide us spiritually, and if we're not going to listen to them, if we're not going to follow their example or their guidance in what they're doing, what's the point of having them? If we're going to be like a bunch of people that says, oh, well, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do and I don't care about that, then what's the point of having any spiritual guidance or any spiritual leadership? As we, as a body of people, have aspirations to become spiritually mature, as individuals, as we seek to become spiritually mature, one of the greatest concepts that we have to master and understand is the concept of submission. Just as we submit to Christ, So we submit one to another, considering others more important or better than ourselves. And when we put others beyond where we're at, then we have mastered and understand this whole concept of teamwork. When we come together with those who would be our shepherds, Lord willing, we need to acknowledge and commit to being a functional part of a team. And part of one of the greatest tragedies for any team or any congregation or any body of people is when individuals think that they know better than anyone else and they're going to do their own thing and they don't care what anybody else says. That is the number one ingredient to destroy a body of people. When people rise up and think that they know better than anyone else. As we grow and develop into a part of the body of Christ, as a part of His universal family, everybody has equal opportunity to be functional in whatever capacity God has equipped them with the skills that are unique to them to do. We need to understand that. Paul clearly understood that as he gave instructions to the young man, Titus. And it's interesting when we look at Titus chapter 2, and it's up there, but if you look through that and you notice that Titus was told to teach older men. Listen to what he's saying here. You know, and I'm going to take the liberty to give a loose translation of that as well. He says, teach older men to be temperate, to be worthy of respect, to be self-controlled, to be secure in the faith, in love, and endurance. And then he goes on and he says, and teach older women to be reverent in the way that they live their lives. Not to be slanderous or gossips. Interestingly, not addicted to too much wine, which leaves some thought for comment. And when they're that way, then the assumption is that they will be able to train younger women. Do you understand what he's saying to Timothy? To Titus? He's saying, here's the team concept. The older people need to be instructing and guiding the younger people. And so, all of you older people, if you consider yourself an older person, who are you instructing? Who are you encouraging? Are you a part of the team or not? And then he says that when the younger women are trained, they will live reverently. And then he concludes that whole passage of scripture by saying, similarly, encourage the young men to be what? To be self-controlled. You know, I remember when the testosterone was flowing freely through my veins, I was invincible. I could say and do what I liked. I had no control because I was going to do it all. And so this passage of scripture is indicting for those who desire not to be a part of the team, who desire not to be identified with the body of Christ. Interesting that Paul gives those instructions to Titus. And then when we look in the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 4, he gives a different set of instructions to Timothy, because his circumstance and his surrounding was a little bit different. But fundamentally, the principle is the same. And to Timothy, he says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Now, my interpretation of that is, he's saying, have nothing to do with the political correctness of social media. Don't listen to the gossip that's out there. Don't listen to that. And he says, command and teach. And it's not a situation where it says, okay, military might, now I'm going to, this is what you need to do. But it carries with it that you have confidence in what you know, because I know whom I am, believe it, because I have spent time in the Word of God. I know who God is, and so I have confidence that I can teach that, and I can teach it with boldness. And so he's saying to Timothy, that's what we need to be doing. We need to teach it. And he says, don't let anyone look down on your youthfulness. Well, you know, if you're jumping around like the court jester and you're totally uncontrolled, how are people going to respect youthfulness? And so it's not a question of just beating up on old people or beating up on young people. You know, really, the truth is, us middle-aged people are okay. The rest of we all have something to take care of, right? No! Not at all. I mean, the indictment is for all of us. The instruction and the encouragement is toward all of us. Because we're a body of Christ. We're a team. We work together. We function together. And the final thing that Paul says to Timothy, he says, watch your life and your doctrine closely. And interesting that he puts those both together. It's not just watch what you teach, but it's watch what you live and what you teach. It's what we do as well as what we say. It has equal importance. And so when we look at all of that and we understand the values of that, Paul, together with the other authors that are recorded in Scripture today, recognize and teach the ways of God. And the ways of God is about a family. We're a family. We're a team of people. We're not a group that's just chaotic doing our own thing. But we have purpose. And our purpose is to reflect and reveal the glory of God. Our purpose is to honor Him in all that we do. And so a team or a family is only as strong as the weakest members of that family. And so if that's the case, if you consider yourself a little more spiritual or a little bit more mature than this other person who seems to be showing out, don't criticize them. Walk up alongside of them and pray with them and help them and teach them and help mold them to become the person that God has created them to be. See, our members, all of us, are constantly to be developed and encouraged. None of us, I don't care who you are, and I don't care who you point to in the world, none of us has got to the point where we know it all. And we're totally in control of who we are. And if that's the case, then all of us have need for instruction and encouragement. And if we're too arrogant to consider the instruction of others, then we've missed the point. Because now we've put ourselves in the place of God. And that's not who we are. We're a body of people seeking to honor God in all that we do. And so we're constantly evolving and growing, not only in our leadership abilities, but in our closeness and in our journey with God. See, it takes a whole lot more than just physical rewards and power to motivate an individual or a group of people. It takes a whole lot more than that. Because when we face adversity, if there's not a purpose that is beyond ourselves, beyond our reach, then our motivation will dwindle very, very quickly. And so as a body of Christ, we're here to seek and to serve God and to honor Him in all that we do. And one of the greatest joys that I've had in the time that I've been here has been seeing lives of people being transformed by the power of God and walking closer and closer to the one who's created us. And I believe right now we're just scratching the edge of the garment. I believe God has brought us to this point where we're considering prayerfully leaders, spiritual leaders, elders, shepherds. We're considering these people that will help us to accomplish our purpose of becoming a spiritually mature body of people. And it's going to take every one of us working together to make that happen. I don't know your hearts this morning. I know this, that God has placed a whole lot of things in my heart. And Jeff took up all my time, so I couldn't spend all of it talking about it. But I know this, we'll spend more time in heaven, wherever that may be, singing than we will be listening to preachers. So, so I give you kudos for that, Jeff. But if you have a need this morning to respond for whatever it is, let me encourage you to do that as together we stand and as we sing.